Let's get on to a very serious matter, and this is in relation to some of the listeners' comments, and they said they love hearing from you, but someone described it as a pain that you can't put your finger on, but it doesn't go away, and it's the pain of bereavement.
Pain of bereavement, and very appropriately this time of year when we, you know, for the Catholic Church, is All Souls and All Saints coming up this weekend, and for a lot of people out there today, they're bereaved recently, or they've been bereaved maybe a year, 2 years ago. And I suppose the way I look at it is like a wound in your heart and in your soul. And like as if you had a wound in your body, do you know what I mean? It needs attention. You know, people say time will heal and things like that. But you have to, I think, to be healing well from grief, you need to be paying it attention as well. You know what I mean?
Okay, I just wonder, before you go into what bereavement is and how you actually deal with it when it first hits you, I want to talk about something that was said to me, and I was asked to put this question about triggers. And triggers being that someone could be gone maybe 10, 15 years or less, and all of a sudden something comes back, something happens, and you dissolve into tears.
That's right.
You can't explain it, you think you're over it, and then it hits you, and then it happens. Yeah. Why does it happen, and how do you cope with it?
Well, why it happens is that a part of your emotional brain, Alan, called the amygdala, and the function of that, one function of it is, it attaches meaning to memory. So everything that happens to you stays with us always, even if it's hidden away. So something maybe you remember, you know, what your husband used to do, or something comes on the radio, a song that you used to share, or maybe something your father used to sing in the morning, or, you know, something your son did, and suddenly it triggers out of nowhere. And really, just let the tears come. There's nothing wrong with them. Do you know, people say, oh, I shouldn't be crying. God, they're 10 years dead, they're 5 years dead. Do you know what I mean? When you love somebody, you can cry about them still, even after that length of time. Do you know what I mean? Don't fight it.
And does it help you then if you do cry?
It does. It helps you to cry. Tears are always if tears come, they're meant to come. You know, as I said to you before, if you analyse the tears you have when you're cutting an onion, and you analyse the tears you have that are full of emotion, they have completely different components. So feelings are physical, and if they come, let them out. And we have a huge thing in this country around tears. It's one of the barriers to grieving. People are told to, you know, to hold up. They were great. They held up during the funeral, you know. They didn't cry at the grave. You know, this kind of thing, holding up. And holding up is a farce. You know, you need to be letting your grief out, let your tears out. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with other people's tears. They'll say, you know, chin up, or, you know, it'll get better, or, you know, because they don't know what to do. But I think people don't realise that how the power of empathy. You will feel helpless if someone is crying because somebody has died, and you can't fix it for them, you can't bring them back, you can't do anything, you know, to fix it. But if you're empathic and just sit with them and let them have their grief, do you know what I mean? That then, that is helping them. Like when, years ago, my friend's child died, you know, and I remember she still would miss him and still could cry about him 13 years later. But the one thing she told me afterwards, maybe into the second year, I used to feel so helpless. I used to also feel guilty that my children were healthy. Do you know what I mean? But she told me that the power of just sitting with her and letting her cry was huge. So I say to people out there,
what's the definition of bereavement, Maria? What is bereavement?
Well, bereavement is the process that goes on following a loss. So when you're bereaved, you've lost. And usually, we did look at other losses last year and things like that. But today we're just focusing on the loss when somebody dies. And you know, we're the only species on the planet that know we're going to die, that can anticipate death. None of the other species know that death will come. But as humans, we do. And if, when you're suffering a loss, what I say is like, people will say to me, it's like a physical pain that just won't go away. Or it's there with you, particularly in the early stages of loss. And what people sometimes do is try to avoid it. You know, they go out and they clean up and they work, or do you know what I mean? They do things to distract themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that to some degree. But the way I look at it is, grief is like a black dog that sits under your porch. It's there every time you look at, you know, you're trying to avoid it, keep it under the porch. And what I say to people, bring it into the house and give it a corner. And then each day, spend 10 or 15 minutes with the grief. Sit with it, cry, do what you need to do. Talk to somebody, you know, reach out and be with it. And it's like a wound. You know, if you had a wound in your abdomen, you'd go to the dressing clinic in the hospital, and it'd open up the wound and it'd irrigate it and clean it and put back the plaster. And eventually you'd be left with a scar. You know, but if you don't attend the wound, grief can stay with people for years. Like sometimes people come to counselling with me and they come in about another matter altogether, and suddenly it comes up that they haven't grieved someone. They could be dead 10 or 20 years. And when you'll see that grief in front of you, as fresh as if it was yesterday, because they buried it. And now some other trauma is allowing the feelings of that grief up again.
It's like a physical weight, isn't it?
It is, yes, yes.
It's actually like carrying a big weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And it can, my own mother, my father died, and within 11, 13 months, my mother was dead after him. Do you know, when I look back, we were only young at the time. But like, she held in her grief. You know, she held it in herself, and really it caused her to become ill. So if you look at the word dis-ease, it's dis-ease. And a lot of people during bereavement, they can't, it's like it overwhelms them completely and makes them ill. So what I say to people is to get it out, to talk to other people about it, and the people listening, don't underestimate your value, to write down your feelings, do you know what I mean? And not be afraid of the feelings, because if you try to push them down and push them away, they'll stay there and come out at a time. What a lot of people happens to them, right? They try to push it away, and then they're out somewhere. Maybe someone dies, and then someone else dies. And people have said this to me over the years. They'll be out maybe in a public place, and suddenly they'll start crying. Yes. You know, and they're saying, oh my God, what am I doing?
Is it possible, someone said to me when I went through bereavement myself a few years ago, that step in front of your tears. Mm. So in other words, if you're in a public place or in the public eye in any way, and you just feel very, very low, step in front, and then when you get a quiet moment, then let it out.
Let it out, yeah.
Would you go along with that
I
theory?
Would if you're in, I mean, particularly if, say, you're in a job, you know, you're at work or somewhere, you couldn't just suddenly start crying out in front of whoever you're supposed to be looking after or in your job or whatever. But I do think as well, the toilet is a great place. You know, you can always take a break if you're in company and just go to the loo and let them out. Do you know what I mean? Or ring, or go to some house where you know tears will be okay. Do you know what I mean? Call up to your friend, have the cup of tea, and I say friends and family of people that are grieving, let them grieve. Don't be trying to stop them.
Here's a very interesting call just come in, Maria. Caller went with her husband to the site of Baile na Ballagh where Michael Collins was shot.
Right.
Had no sort of knowledge, or, you know, I'm not even sure if she was familiar with the life and times of Michael Collins, but for some reason when she went there, she broke down in tears. She cried and cried and cried. Yeah. She wants to know what's the significance of that. Bearing in mind she wouldn't have been related in any way to Michael Collins.
Well, I don't know, that happened to me when I went on to the beach in Normandy. Do you know where the World War II was?
D-Day.
Do you know? I remember, I don't know whether it's the same for that lady or not, but I remember being overwhelmed with a sense of sadness. And I don't know if that's because there was so much trauma occurred there. You know, and there's certain places, energies can be evoked in certain places of, like, people go to, say, Auschwitz, you know, to the where they were all kind of killed, and they'll cry.
Yeah, I was in Dachau myself a few years ago, and I remember sitting, coming out of it, and there was this old man sitting on a wall, and he was roaring, crying. Yes. So obviously someone belonged to him had passed away there, had died there.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's in historical significance.
It's a historical sadness, but for this lady as well, I mean, she could be connecting to the sadness there, and there may be hidden sadnesses in her own world, you know? That, like when you watch a film sometimes, you start crying, don't you? And it may have no relevance, but if the tears come, they're there for a reason. They may not be about what you actually think you're crying about, but there's a saying that the organs weep, the tears the eyes refuse to shed.
Okay.
So just to let them come and let the grief come. Do you know what I mean? In that
comments
way.
Are flying in 0539145222. Someone close to you is terminally ill.
Oh.
They don't know. Should you tell them? I mean, you were a nurse. You were a nurse in your former life as well.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that yourself? You have someone, so you're dealing with your own pre-bereavement situation.
Yes.
Dealing with someone who perhaps doesn't even know they're terminally ill.
Well, this is a huge strain on anyone, and there's no steadfast rules here. For first of all, number one, but I'd say number two. Even in my life as a nurse before I was a counsellor, I always tried to help people to have the truth out in the open if they could, because you know you'd have a man in the bed. He knows he's sick. He knows he's sick. Do you know what I mean? And you have a woman in the corridor, and he'll be telling me, he used to tell me, don't be upsetting her, and she'd be saying the same. So if at all possible, people need to be able to try and talk about the situation, if at all possible. People think they're protecting other people by not telling them that they're that ill, but often people know they're that ill, and then they try to protect their own loved ones by not talking about it, and that leaves them really, really alone. And that's where there is help as well. There's lots of counselling for people that are terminally ill, and that's, there's a service, Southeast Cancer Service, there's Hope in Enniscorthy. They provide a counselling service where you can bring families together and help them to look at what's happening, how they feel and things like that.
That's a situation where you know someone is going to pass away.
Yeah.
But there's another situation where someone passes away suddenly.
Yes.
And you don't get a chance to say goodbye. How
yes.
do you handle that?
Well, I had that in my own life twice with my parents, you know. This is absolutely huge, do you know what I mean? And the sense that the shock of it.
I never got to say goodbye.
The shock of it is absolutely huge. But if you look at the whole phenomenon of love, right? You love your family, your wife, your children. But just like the cup in front of me, you can't put your hand on it and pick it up, can you? But it's still real. So in the same way, I believe people have different belief systems, but I believe that the love you have continues afterwards. And I believe the love that the person had for you and you have for them is there. So there's nothing wrong with, say, therapeutically talking to them, writing them letters. Do you know, some people write a letter, put it in the grave and things like that to say the things you wanted to say. And I do believe at some level that they are heard in the universal sense. Do you know, but it's a huge shock when they die like that. Absolutely and utterly. Do you know, your whole ground is taken out from under you. You know, and okay. There's many people out there this week even who are in that position, I'm sure.
We're going to have to come back to this topic, I think,
yeah,
Maria. But
so.
We have a woman who's been on the phone, said her husband died 10 years ago.
Yes.
When she dreams about him, she dreams about him in a distressing way. In other words, he's distressed, she's distressed, dreaming about him.
Okay.
Would there be any significance in that?
Well, there's different kinds of dreams. Like, there's dreams that reflect your unconscious, and then there's prophetic dreams. But I would imagine that this lady may still be very distressed herself by the loss of her husband. And I wonder, did she get any kind of professional help around grieving? And just to say to her, it wouldn't be too late to do that even now. To work with those dreams, because if someone like me in the job I do had the lady in with those dreams, I'd be working with her around the dreams, if you understand what
I'm
saying.
Does time heal?
Time itself, I don't think is enough to heal. It will heal up. Like, for example, if you have a wound and you don't attend to it, eventually it'll heal up, but it mightn't heal up as well as a wound that gets attention. So I think it needs time and attention, the two things, you know what I mean?
Final comment for today: you have to give yourself permission to grieve, have a cry, let it out, release it, says Liz in Wexford.
Well, Liz is right. Well done, Liz. And it's more of that. But the other side of that is for the people in our world to allow us to have the tears, because we're so uncomfortable with people crying. And don't ever underestimate the power of empathy to heal a very deep wound. Okay,
you're on about the people in this world. What about the people in next world? Carol and Anne will be joining me in the studio,
yes,
to touch base with them in just a few moments'
okay.
time. Thanks for joining
okay,
me, Maria.
Thanks very much.